Hey, welcome back to 7 Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're diving into Kelly McGonigal's The Upside of Stress. Sophie, I gotta ask, what's the biggest myth about stress that this book just completely destroys?
Oh, definitely the idea that stress is inherently bad for you. McGonigal says the real killer isn't stress itself, but your belief that stress is harmful. And she's got this wild study to back it up.
Right. The one with 30,000 people. They tracked them for 8 years, and high stress increased the risk of dying by 43%, but only for people who also thought stress was hurting them.
Exactly.
The folks who had tons of stress but didn't see it as harmful actually had the lowest death risk in the whole study, even lower than people with very little stress.
That's bonkers. So the thought itself is what's toxic. I mean, they estimated over 20,000 deaths a year are tied to that belief.
Yeah, it's a paradigm shift. She's not saying stress is harmless, but that your response to it changes everything. And that response is something you can actually control.
Okay, so how does that work? I always thought stress was just this fight or flight thing, all adrenaline and cortisol wrecking your body.
That's the old view. McGonigal points out that stress also releases oxytocin, the bonding hormone. It's the tend and befriend response. So stress is literally pushing you to connect with others.
So your body isn't just gearing up to fight or run. It's also getting you ready to reach out for help or protect the people you care about. That's a whole different picture.
Right.
And oxytocin actually protects your heart from the negative effects of stress. So the stress response isn't just about survival of yourself. It's about survival of the group.
So instead of trying to calm down, what should we do when we're stressed? She's got that three-step thing, right?
Yeah, it's about adopting a stress mindset. First, you acknowledge the stress. Instead of, "I'm so stressed," you think, "My body is giving me energy to meet this challenge."
Then you welcome it, because stress only shows up for things you care about. You don't get stressed about stuff you don't give a damn about.
Exactly.
And finally, you use that energy, channel it into action, preparation, or asking for help. Don't waste it on worry.
And this actually changes your biology? I remember something about blood vessels.
Yes.
When you view stress as helpful, your blood vessels stay relaxed, even when your heart rate goes up. But if you think stress is harmful, they constrict, which contributes to cardiovascular disease. Your body literally listens to your mind.
So it's not just about feeling better. It's a real physiological shift. That's incredible.
And it leads to this radical idea: stop trying to get rid of stress. The pursuit of a stress-free life is not only impossible, but it's also counterproductive.
Because everything meaningful is stressful. Falling in love, starting a career, raising kids. It's all stressful. So if you avoid stress, you avoid life.
Right.
Instead of asking, "How do I get rid of this stress?" you should ask, "What is this stress telling me about what I value?" Stress is like a compass pointing to what matters.
That's a great way to put it. So stress is a signal, not a sickness. But what about when stress is just too much? She talks about toxic stress, right?
Yes.
The difference isn't the stressor itself, but the context. Stress that's connected to meaning and support is transformative. Stress that's meaningless, isolating, or overwhelming is toxic.
So a demanding job you love is different from one that feels like a prison. And caring for a loved one out of love is different from doing it out of obligation with no support.
Exactly.
And the antidote to toxic stress isn't to eliminate the stressor, but to find meaning in it and connect with others. That's where the tend and befriend thing comes in.
So reaching out is actually a biological imperative when you're stressed. It's not a sign of weakness. It's your body trying to get you the help you need.
And helping others is one of the best stress busters. It releases dopamine and oxytocin, giving you a helper's high that reduces your own stress. It's a positive feedback loop.
So the most resilient people aren't the ones who handle stress alone. They're the ones embedded in strong communities. That makes so much sense.
She also talks about post-traumatic growth. People who go through a crisis can come out stronger, more grateful, with deeper relationships. It's not about being grateful for the trauma, but for the growth.
Like finding new possibilities or realizing your own strength. It's like the stress forced you to level up in life.
Yeah, and that's where the concept of a stress shield comes in. Small, manageable doses of stress can actually make you more resilient, like a vaccine for your mind.
So taking on challenges, like public speaking or learning a new skill, trains your brain and body to handle future stress better. It's stress inoculation.
Right.
And each time you successfully navigate a stressful experience, you build confidence. You learn you can handle more than you thought.
So we should actually seek out stress? That feels a little crazy, but I get it. Sign up for that class. Take on that project. Volunteer for something that scares you.
Exactly.
The goal isn't to suffer, it's to grow. And by voluntarily exposing yourself to manageable stress, you build that resilience muscle.
Okay, so what about the stress of caring for someone who's suffering? She talks about compassion fatigue, right?
She actually challenges that term. She says the problem isn't caring too much, but not having enough support to sustain that caring. The solution isn't to care less, but to build a stronger support network.
So when you feel overwhelmed by someone else's pain, that stress response is actually a signal to turn to your own community for help, not to isolate yourself.
Right.
And she reframes common stressors like work, money, and health. A demanding career can be a source of meaning. Financial stress can signal you're building a secure life, and health scares can be opportunities to appreciate your body.
It's all about the meaning you assign. That's the core of the book, isn't it? Stop trying to reduce stress. Start trying to find meaning.
Yes. The choice isn't between a stressful life and a peaceful one. It's between a life of meaning and a life of emptiness. Stress is the price of engagement.
I love that. It's the tax you pay for caring about something. So the goal is to make sure you're paying it for something that matters.
And when you chase meaning, you'll inevitably encounter stress. But that stress won't break you. It'll make you stronger, wiser, and more connected.
So the next time my heart is pounding before a big moment, I should tell myself, this is my body preparing me for this challenge. I am strong. I am connected. I am ready.
Exactly.
That simple shift in perspective might be the most powerful thing you can do for your health and happiness.
Honestly, this book changed how I see stress. I used to dread it. Now I see it as a sign that I'm fully alive. That's my big takeaway.
And if you want to dive deeper into this or any other book, you can check out the full library at 7minutebooks.com/app. They have over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language, starting at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access. So remember, stress isn't the enemy. It's your body's way of preparing you for what matters. We'll see you in the next one.